بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله what I want to do in this khutbah in this session and maybe the next one is to look at an important aspect of the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم بكاء النبي وحزنه the moments of sadness and sorrow in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we hear about him, we read about him, we love and we cherish our Prophet, peace be upon him. But what about times when he was challenged? What about times when he was sad and when he cried as well? Right? So this is something to also reflect upon, especially given our day and age where we're suffering from various issues to do with mental health, to do with anxiety and so forth as well. So wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa khatam an-nabiyyin. Right, he is the final messenger to be sent to humankind. And he was indeed, as the ulama and the scholars tell us, that wa arhamihim wa arafihim. He was the most merciful and he was the most gentle of human beings on this planet. Wa akhshahum lillahi wa a'badihim. And he was the one who was the most fearful, most reverent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was the one who obeyed Allah the most as well. وَأَكْثَرِهِمْ شَوْقًا إِلَيْهِ وَأَحَبَّهُمْ. And he was also the one who desired to meet Allah the most and who loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also the most as well. أَلَّذِي إِذَا كَانَ وَعَذَ وَجِلَتِ الْقُلُوبِ. Whenever he would talk about Allah and he would remind people of his duty and their duty to turn to Allah and to worship Allah, their heart would move. Their heart would literally shake, right? وَدَرَفَتِ الْعُيُونَ. And their eyes would be filled with tears. This is the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet himself in one hadith tells us, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ لَهُ. That wallahi, I swear an oath by Allah that I am the most fearful of Allah and I'm the one who is most conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says elsewhere, wallahi la ana a'lamuhum billah wa ashadduhum lahu khashyatan. That I am the most knowledgeable when it comes to Allah, but I am also the one who fears Allah the most as well. In one hadith he says, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ لَذَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. He says, the Prophet, peace be upon him, if you knew what I knew, if you knew what I knew, you would laugh little and you would cry more. You would laugh little and you would cry more. Elsewhere he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِي لَوْ رَأَيْتُمْ مَا رَأَيْتُ لَذَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا. A similar meaning, that if you knew the reality of what is to come to you, what you're going to face once your eyes shut in this world, and the horrors and the reality that you will come to see very soon, you would laugh very little and you would spend more time crying before Allah. In one hadith he reminds us, right? Why is this? Why did the Prophet say this? What did you see, O Prophet of Allah? He says, رَأَيْتُ الْجَنَّ وَالنَّارِ. That I saw a paradise which has been promised for us as believers if we believe and we perform righteous actions and we stay away from those things which Allah has ordered us to stay away from, then we have Jannah. But if we fail in our duty after Islam has reached us and we become lazy, lethargic, right? Lazy people, and we don't follow the ahkam of Allah, we disobey our Creator, then the fire awaits those people as well. Right? And he says that, in another place he says that certain chapters of the Quran, Surah Hud, Surah Waqi'ah, Surah Mursalat, Amma Yatasailoon, right? Is a shamsu kuwwira, these verses which talk about the horrors of the Day of Judgment and the afterlife, he says, they've made my hair white. They've made my hair white, i.e. the concern and the fear that I have of what's going to face people on the Day of Judgment as well. And then there's the famous hadith that we hear all the time. Sab'atun, seven people. The Prophet says, seven people, يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. There'll be a people, seven groups of people on the Day of Judgment who will be under the shade of Allah. The shade of Allah, where there will be no shade but the shade of Allah. This will be the only shade. There'll be no trees. There'll be nothing for you to get shade from except the shade that Allah provides. Who are these seven people? Very, very interesting. The first one, he says, an imamun adilun. An imam who's just. Imam, nowadays, we think about a person who leads the prayer. In those days, he was a leader of the believers. The leader of the believers, a just leader of the believer. Because to have power and to be a person in authority is a huge burden in Islam. You shouldn't be someone that wants to be in authority. You should run away from authority. But if Allah places you in a position where you have authority, then you must be just. And then people can extend this to people who are managers, who run companies, or whatever, right? Be just to employees. Treat them in a dignified manner. So Allah says these sort of people will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, the second person, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. A person who is connected to the masjid. A person who is always connected to the masjid. His concern is to be in the masjid for the sisters who are at her home, to be on the musalla, to perform their prayer, i.e. to be those people who are always punctual and concerned with their prayers. This is the second person who will be given the shade of Allah. The third person the Prophet mentions, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَ فِي اللَّهِ اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two brothers, or two sisters if you like, who meet, right, and who love each other for the sake of Allah. When they meet for the sake of Allah. And when they separate from each other, they separate from each other. When they go back to their home, on their way, they only do it for the sake of Allah. These people will also be under the arsh of Allah. So we love our Muslim brothers and sisters, right? We have love for them. When we greet them, we can hug them when it's safe to hug them. We greet them with love. We love them for the sake of Allah. And we tell them as well. The Prophet says elsewhere, if you love someone for the sake of Allah, remind them that you love them for the sake of Allah. This is one of, for me anyway, one of the unique facets of Islam. That wherever you are globally, when you meet a Muslim, you feel an instinctive bond with them. Irrespective of their ethnic background, right? Wherever you go in the world, as soon as you meet a Muslim, there's something about a kalima that you connect with that person straight away. So these people will also be under the arsh of Allah or the shade of Allah as well. The fourth person, وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتَ مَنْسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. That a woman calls him, or he's tempted towards vice and immorality, right? And the person that he is tempted towards is a person of nobility and beauty. All that is there for you. And then that person says, I fear Allah. Right? For our youth in particular who struggle with watching certain things, right? And the temptation is very real for our youth in particular, right? Or even our certain people, middle-aged people as well. They have this addiction to pornography and so forth. So remember this, that if you can control your gaze and you can control your nafs, you will be from those people who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Then the next person, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَ حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمُ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. A person who spends his wealth or her wealth in the path of Allah in such a way that his right hand gives and his left hand doesn't even know. I.e. you give in such a way that nobody even knows that you're spending in the path of Allah, because this is a sign of your sincerity. You give towards good causes. You give your time towards good causes. You're not interested in being the hero. Right? But to Allah, you're a hero. To the angels, you are the real hero. And in the seventh person, the Prophet mentioned, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَازَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. This is to do with what we want to cover over the next few weeks, which is that person who remembers Allah alone, in solitude. Nobody's watching him. Nobody's watching her. They're home alone, in the masjid alone in some corner, or wherever they are, in the car, wherever. And they remember Allah, and their eyes are flowing with tears out of the fear of Allah, that they recognize that soon every single one of us in this room and beyond will be buried in that grave, and we will be asked about how we spent this short life, this gift that Allah has given as well. So this is very, very important. So we want to learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his moments of sadness. The Prophet, like any other human being, suffered. Right, and he was suffered more than any human being will ever have to undertake. Right, and he had moments of sadness. He had moments where he cried. So we need to learn about this. Why do we need to learn about this? Because nowadays, like I mentioned at the beginning, that people struggle. brothers do struggle, sisters do struggle. We do have a mental health issue in our community, in our communities. And so we need to look at the treasure trove of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and realize that, you know what? If the Master, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, went through trials and tribulations, and he cried like any other human being, then it's okay for us to cry. It's okay for us to feel sad. But Allah will give us success as well at the end of it. So we all have our own individual battles, right? The amount of time people ring me and message me and say, Mawlana, make dua for me. This has happened, that has happened. Sometimes they don't even want to tell you what's happened, right? Because they're ashamed for whatever reason, right? And you make dua for them. But you remind them that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also cried, and he also felt pain and suffering as well. وَأَنْتَ أَقَرَّ اللَّهَ عَيْنَيْكَ. May Allah give, the sheikhs makes dua for us, may Allah make your eyes cool, he says. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ بُكَاءَ نَبِيِّنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ مِنْ جِنْسِ ذَحِكَهِ. Just like he's laughing, he's crying is the same. Sometimes his crying was like his laughing. We'll go through some examples over the next few weeks where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions would cry to joy as well. Out of joy. I gave the example, the video is going to be shared later on, about Abu Huraira, when he cried out of joy when his mother became Muslim. Right? Sajib Bey will share the video with you guys later on, inshallah. So he says that, but whenever he laughed, or whenever he smiled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, لَمْ يَكُنْ بِشَهِيكٍ وَرَفْعَ صَوْتٍ. He never used to laugh loud and excessively, like how sometimes people laugh. The example here is like the braying of a donkey, like laughing so loud. That wasn't the way of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was never his way, right? Just like his crying wasn't loud and shouting and screaming as well. However, when he did cry, and he did cry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his eyes would be filled with tears, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he would shed so much tears, his beard, the blessed beard of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would become wet with tears. Right? I mean, have you met someone like this who has a beard and is drenched because he's been crying so much to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that people could hear him? People could hear him crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes he would cry. Why? Because someone had passed away. We'll go through examples, inshallah, over the next few weeks, where he would cry because someone that he loved, someone that was close to him, someone that assisted him, that was there, like Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, our mother, who when she passed away, he cried. Why did he cry? Because she was there when nobody was there with him. The first believer. When nobody wanted to believe the Prophet, they said he was a madman. They said that he's after our wealth. They made rumors about him, right? And yet, it was Khadija, a woman, a wife, radiallahu ta'ala anha, who made sure and supported the Prophet, peace be upon him. That is why they say behind every successful man, there is a woman. And that's absolutely true in the case of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes he would cry because someone had passed away. And that's natural. It's okay to cry. Right? If a Prophet does it, then it's okay for us to cry. وَتَارَةً خَوْفًا عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِهِ وَشَفَقَةً عَلَيْهَا. And sometimes he would cry for me and you. At night he would spend long nights in prostration, lifting his hands to Allah, crying for people that he'd never met, people in Blackburn, people in the United Kingdom in 2021, right? He would cry for us. Why? Because he'd never met us, but he'd cry for the fear of our salvation. That's what's going to happen to Fulan, what's going to happen to this person of my ummah when he or she is with Allah and is tested before Allah. And sometimes he'll cry out to the fear of Allah, the khawf of Allah. وَتَارَةً عِنْدَ سَمَاعِ الْقُرْآنِ. Sometimes his eyes would fill with tears when he would just hear the Qur'an. I'll give you examples of these, inshallah, over the next few weeks, right? And so this is the mahabba he had for Allah, and the jalal, the magnitude and the awe of Allah that he recognized as well. وَأَمَّا حُزْنُ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُ عَلَيْهِ فَلَمْ يَكُنْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا. The Shaykh mentions that whenever the Prophet cried, it was never to do with the world. He had no interest in the world. If he lost some wealth, if he lost a car, someone stole his car, for example, if that was possible, right? If someone took something of his that was to do with the dunya, he never cried over it. The dunya was nothing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? To him, Islam was superior. To him, Allah was superior. To him, fellow believers were superior. Right? خُوشِيَ نَبِيُّنَا أَن يَكُونَ حُزْنُهُ كَذَلِكَ وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْعَارِفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْحُزْنَ عَلَىٰ الدُّنْيَا وَأَسْبَعَ مَذْمُونَ. The ulama, he says, that is blameworthy. It's actually a negative trait if you cry over the dunya. Right? Because it shows that the dunya is beloved to you. The dunya, you are connected to the dunya. Your heart is connected to the dunya. If Allah takes something away from you, right, then maybe Allah has something good ready for you. One of the shuyukh, something was once stolen from him. So the people said, Sheikh, someone has stolen something from you. You know, what are you going to do? Let's find this thief. And they started cursing the thief and making dua against him. The Sheikh said, no. Make dua that Allah make that item that he's taken from me something that's beneficial for him. That he it's rightful for him to take it at this moment. He had this intention in his heart. That's, what is this? Allah's going to give me something better in return. Sometimes something is taken away from you, right? And it's right to be taken away from you, and Allah gives you something better in return. So the dunya is, because we live in a very materialistic world, it's very easy to fall into this, and then we feel sad when something happens or something breaks or something gets lost. But remember, from the amru dunya, when it's to do with the dunya, don't worry too much about it. What is more severe is that you lose your akhirat. To acquire the worldly wealth, you lose out your akhirat. That's the biggest loss a person can ever experience. You can lose all your shares, you can lose your business, but if you get into Jannah, you've been successful. Right? But you can be a billionaire, and how many billionaires are there today? But they don't have Iman, they don't have Hidayah. What use will that wealth be for them on the Day of Judgment when they stand before Allah? They'll wish that they can give all of that wealth away. The billions some of these people have, right? Bigger than countries, more wealth than countries, some countries. That's how much wealth some of these people have. But what wealth, what use is that wealth when they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So you should never ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, test you in such a way. And you should, whenever something sad happens, remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested the most, and he turned to Allah as well. So what are the moments of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he would cry as well? Allah mentions in the Quran, it's a very important verse in the Quran, it's in Surah Najm, verse 43. Allah says, when he praises himself, he says, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. Allah is the one who brings joy to you. When you're happy, there's nothing wrong with being happy. Nothing wrong with smiling and being grateful and having moments of fun in a legitimate way. Because Allah is the one that makes you happy. Who makes you happy? وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ. He makes you laugh. Sometimes, you know, you laugh and that's from Allah. Right? It's a good halal way, it's from Allah. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ. But He is also the one that makes you sad as well. So all goodness and all negativity comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, evil, we believe, does exist, but it's evil only to us. Right? In the end, according to Allah, it's not evil because something good will come out of it. Right? So whatever we see in the world, evil, there'll be some good that will come out of it as well. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى. Allah reminds us, very, very interesting. Soon as He reminds us that I am the one who makes you laugh, I am the one who makes you sad, but I'm also the one that gives you life. I'm also the one that takes your life away as well. So Allah can take and give as He wishes, because He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us this nature to be happy. Right? And on the day of Eid, when we get married, or whatever, when these things happen, we feel happy. This is from Allah, we should be grateful for this as well. But when we are challenged, when things become difficult for us, we should also remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so why do we cry? Buka, athrul huzn. Why do people cry? Because something sad has happened. Kama anna zahika, athrul surur in nafs. Just like when you laugh and you become happy, there's something in your nafs that makes you feel that way. Wa kullu min al buka'i wa zahiki min khawasil insan. He says only human beings can do this. Laughing, feeling joy, and feeling regret and remorse. Wa kilahuma khalqun ajibun dalun ala infi'alin azimin fi nafs. That Allah has placed within you that you can feel joy, you can feel pleasure, right? It's something that you can't describe sometimes, but you know when you see someone, brother's happy, sister's happy from Allah, right? This is something that Allah has put inside the insan. So you will have moments where you feel really, really excited, if I can use the word ecstasy, that you have your moments of joy, and then you have your moments of sadness. That's just the nature of life, right? The joy is a taste of what's going to come to you for you in Jannah, that you'll have the pleasure time and time again, and your body will be able to sustain that level of pleasure as well, because you're no longer living in this mortal world as well. So this is something to bear in mind. And the Shaykh mentions that there are different levels of happiness. I'm not going to go through them, but he gives an example of one of them, which is very, very interesting. I'm going to share it with you. It's also on the video. Let me share with you the joy of Abu Huraira. There's different types of tears. When some person cries, there's different ways that person cries. Something bad happens, something good happens, and you get your degree or you achieve something in life which you never felt you'd achieve. You're like, wow, I've achieved it. And you feel regret, and you feel happy. Parents become really happy when they see the children getting married. Like, why are you crying for, mom? I'm getting married. They're happy for you. That's the joy that, you know what, my son or my daughter is getting married today. So there's this hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, and I'll end with this inshallah. He says, Kuntu ad'u ummi il-Islam. I used to call my mother to Islam. Abu Huraira, one of the greatest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You'll hear his name regularly. About his mother. He says, I used to make dua time and time again. I used to go to my mother and call her to Islam all the time. Right? Wahiya mushrika. She was a mushrik. She was a polytheist. فَدَعَوْتُهَا يَوْمًا فَأَسْمَعَتْنِي فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا أَكْرَمُ. One day I went to her and I called her to Islam. She said something about the Prophet that really hurt me. She said something bad about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? She must have said something that really upset him. So what did he do? فَأَتَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَنَا أَبْكِي فَقُلْتُ. I went to him. I went to the Prophet. I went running to the Prophet. I said, oh Prophet of Allah. You know, he was crying and he said, look, O Prophet of Allah, I went to my mother, I called her to Islam, and she said something about you, which really upset me. Really upset me, O Prophet of Allah. Right? Now, if someone like me and you, well, we'd curse that person. We'd dismiss that person. What did he say about his mother? So he said that, O Prophet of Allah, make dua for my mother. Make dua for my mother. What dua did the Prophet, peace be upon him, make? Not for her misguidance. Never. What did he say? Allahumma hdi ummi Abi Huraira. Oh Allah, guide Abu Huraira's mother. He made the dua. He made the supplication. Remember, guidance is from Allah. Even the Prophet is reminded that hidayah ultimately comes from Allah. We are just the means for hidayah. If one person becomes a Muslim through us, that is better than what is in the world and everything that it contains. Right? So we are working towards that. We are a community that gives da'wah. So he says that as soon as the Prophet made the dua, I went running to my mother's house. I was happy. I was ecstatic. I went to my mother's house. I knocked on my mother's door. She heard me. I could hear water running in the background. So she must have been having a bath. Then I could hear her putting her clothes on. I could hear her covering her hair. So I was hearing all these noise. And then she said to me, Makanak ya Abi Huraira, stay in your place. I'm coming. He knocked on the door. He waited. And then she opened the door, he says. She opened the door. And as soon as she opened the door, she said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. In other words, she became a Muslim, right? And then he was so excited, Abu Huraira, he went running to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I was, wa ana abki min al-farah. I was crying out of joy. I was so happy. I went to the Prophet. Remember, just before he was crying to the Prophet out of sadness. Now the Prophet has turned it around and he's crying out of joy. And he says, just like I was crying before, now I'm crying out of joy. So I told the Prophet, Abshir, glad news, good news, O Prophet. My mother has become a Muslim. And then he made dua for her as well. Then he asked for one more dua. You know, like as if someone gives you a hot hand, you want to take the entire arm off, right? You're going to take more. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, oh, Prophet, make dua that أن يحببني أنا وأمي إلى عباده المؤمنين ويحببهم إلينا. Allah, O Prophet, make dua that people love me and my mother. People love me and my mother, and we love our believers as well. In other words, make it such that we love one another. There's love between us. The Prophet made that dua as well. Right? The Prophet made, Allahumma habbib ubaydaka hadha. Right? That make these people beloved to your slaves, and make them also love these people. And he says himself that after that, every time me and my mother met somebody, we were always loved to people. People loved us. And is it not true today that if you ask any Muslim, which Sahabi narrates the most hadith? Give me a name, they say Abu Huraira straight away. Isn't that not true today? Abu Huraira is the one that you know. If you don't know anything about hadith studies, you know who Abu Huraira is. This is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who cried out of joy because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for his mother. So this is our duty to reach out, and I'll continue with these exemplars from this book inshallah about the crying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his moments of sadness. Jazakallah. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول
الحمد لله العلي الكبير الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى وبسط بسات الأرض وجعله سكنا ومدفنا للذكر والأنثى وجعل سقفه السماوات العلى. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولو كان لفسدت السماوات والأرض السفلى. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله سيد أرباب التقى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم صلاة تنجينا مما نخشى. أما بعد، فيا أرباب الأحلام والنهى، تفكروا في مبادئكم ومناشئكم وتذكروا ما سيمضي عليكم وما مضى. خلقكم الله من مني يمنى وجعله علقة ثم مضغة ثم لحما وعظما ثم ألبسه صورة فسوى ثم أخرجكم من ظلمات الأرحام إلى هذه الدار الدنيا ورباكم من صبابكم وألهمكم ما ينفعكم وما يضركم في العقبى وفضلكم على سائر مخلوقاته بإعطاء الإفهام والنهى وبعث عليكم رسلا مبشرين ومنذرين لئلا تكون للناس عليه حجة في الأخرى وبين لكم سبيل الضلالة ويسر لكم طرق الهدى ووعد لمن خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى بأن الجنة له المأوى. فعليكم أن تشكروه على مننه وتحمدوه على نعمه التي لا تعد ولا تحصى وامتثلوا أوامره وانتهوا عما زجر عنه ونهى ولا تأسرفوا أعماركم في الغفلات ولا تضيعوا أنفسكم في اقتراف السيئات فمن ارتكب ذلك ضل وطغى. وأطيعوا الله ورسوله واتبعوا سننه وطريقته فمن ترك سنن نبيه سقط وهلك وغوى. اللهم يا رحمن يا منان يا من على العرش استوى اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا واهدنا وثبتنا على طريق الفلاح والهدى. آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. والليل إذا يغشى والنهار إذا تجلى وما خلق الذكر والأنثى إن سعيكم لشتى فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وسل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حيان عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاتمة السيدة نساء الجنة والحسن الحسين سيدة شباب الجنة وهمزة أسأل الله أسأل رسولي رضوان الله تعالى عليه أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحب ربي أحبهم وما أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي أغارني ثم الذين يلون ثم الذين يلونهم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. قيموا صفوفكم.